Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Yeah, we are on right now, this very moment, and I don't even know what day it is. That's the thing.
It's Thursday.
Thank you, Sue, because I wasn't exactly sure. I told Fred, I've asked like three different times, wait, what is the day today? It's just a weird, weird thing because of election night.
It really is. I'm like running behind. I feel like it's earlier in the week than it is.
Well, I'm a little bit caught up on sleep, but then I would say more emotionally exhausted today, quite honestly, because, and I can get into this a little bit. I've had a couple of little unexpected disruptions with friends over this election.
Yeah.
And like really close friends. That's the thing. People on Twitter, when I was, I actually posted something on Facebook too and on the Twitter. Ethan, let me ask a question real quick. Is that damn thing there supposed to be blinking? Or can we set it where it doesn't blink like that? Because now it's driving me crazy. We got this clock in here. I'm going to turn it around. Thanks. I got distracted. Oh, my God. What was I saying? So,
friends.
Yeah, right. So, these are people that are close to me. And I had some people on Twitter respond and say, oh, if that's the way it is, they're not friends. Well, these are friends of mine. And I'm not used to just shoving people off in the corner. But I'm pretty hot about some of the responses because I had somebody in particular that went after me on Twitter publicly, who's been a friend for 45 years. I'm like, that doesn't seem to make sense, right?
Right.
He didn't think what I was doing on Twitter yesterday was a good look because I was gloating and spiking the ball. And my response is, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that for a little while. After being called a Nazi and all this other stuff, I'm going to gloat a little bit, right? And we're going to talk about serious things, too. But there's no doubt that I'm going to take out after some of the nonsense that's been going on out there. And we have great examples of that today. But I'll say this also, Fred, I don't think I told you that. Just because I had exchanged messages and Tim Summer saw something on Facebook. Tim is one of our new friends. I think I've only known him for a couple years. He writes at the Rock and Roll Globe. He discovered Hootie and the Blowfish. He was in the record industry at the time. He's become one of our musical contributors. We love Tim. There's a guy that couldn't be more opposite, probably, for me in politics. He called me today. We had like a 20-minute conversation full of love and just sharing, some things related to friends. And he was a good sounding board today for me, and I appreciated that.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and he told me an interesting story. Hopefully I won't, speak out of turn, but he has a very, very dear friend. I won't mention the guy's name. I know who he is, who is super close to Trump, like to the point where he's at Mar-a-Lago right now, this guy. He's a big fundraiser, big player. But Tim was saying how, this is a guy that has done nothing but express love and help for his family, has helped in very, unique situations, and he knows where he is on Trump and all this. But, man, some people just can't put this past them, and it's unfortunate. And, I don't know how to guide other people through this because I'm experiencing it on my own right now. And the one area where I don't want it to become an issue is my kids, because my kids are basically communists, so we got to be careful with that when they come in for Thanksgiving. I'm kidding, Sue.
Kind of.
They're sort of Marxist, right?
I only gave it one eyebrow.
I know. But, I told my son, who's in Houston, Idris's father, my grandson, he was not happy. And I know where my kids are politically. The one who's the social studies teacher is up in Chicago, and we have to completely avoid politics. But my son in Houston, I said, look, let's focus on family, and let's focus on Idris, and maybe we should focus on Idris, and one more thing, Idris, my grandson, because that's where we need to really spend more time, and I hope that people don't have these disputes with their family members or friends moving forward, because it's not easy, and I'm the type of person, unfortunately, I obsess. Fred's going to know this. I obsess about this stuff. I really do. I can't get away. I can't get it out of my mind, especially when friends are involved. And I lost a very good friend who all of you know who he is. And I won't say who that is, but most of you know who it is. It's another media member. And this was something that went down 3 years ago. And I still think about it. I still think about it. I'm very, very sad about it. But I also think a lot of this is, you know, we've joked over the years about TDS. It's real. And it's been real for a while. And unfortunately, I have some dramatic examples of that here this afternoon that I want to share. I also have some really good audio from people who are smart. I have Jonathan Martin, who wrote a great column. I want to get into that. Jonathan's at Politico, and he's kind of a straight shooter. The blame game has certainly begun with the Harris folks and the Biden folks. We got Biden that spoke today, right, Fred? He came out. What the hell got into him? He gave like a speech you can understand. I came out there all, he was all peppy. He comes out to the White House, he's waving. But look, that guy's legacy is now letting Trump back into the White House. That's what the Democrats think of him. And now there's this stuff, Sue, have you heard this stuff about, well, Biden's going to resign and Kamala's going to be president for two months? If I don't really think that's going to happen, but let's just say it was on the table. How embarrassing would it be for her that's the way you become the first female president? Now, our friends on the late night talk show host, they ain't too happy.
It was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go.
Hang on a second here. I got to interject here something with my friend Jimmy Kimmel, who becomes a big crybaby here, too. Now, Jimmy's very sensitive. Maybe I shouldn't hold that against him. He's married to a woman from right here in St. Louis. But let's address a few of those things from the very beginning. And what's interesting about what he just said is that was a line of attack that was given to me with this dear friend of mine. Women. Think about the women. What? What can women not do today or yesterday or on January 22nd that they can't do right now? You can still kill your baby in Missouri. All right, so you got that going for you right now. What is the big fear? And by the way, this is something else. You can use this one on your friends. The people you just supported, they can't even define the word woman. And that's not an exaggeration. Like, Kamala Harris was never asked that question. If she was, she'd do the same thing that a member of the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, did. What is a woman? We have it in our open, right? So let's please with the women. The immigrants. What's the word that is missing from Jimmy Kimmel's lexicon? Thank you. It's unbelievable that they don't understand the difference between legal and illegal immigration. By the way, you listened to the speech from Trump yesterday morning. Fred, you watched it, right?
Right.
He talked about letting people in.
Of course.
Legally.
Yes.
Legally. They just, it drives us, I'll collectively include the audience, because I know that it drives you guys nuts too.
For healthcare. For
right, here come the tears.
For science. For journalism.
Ah!
For justice, for free speech.
Wait a second. Journalism.
Oh, my God.
And I have more examples that they don't even hear themselves. They don't hear what they're saying. Are you kidding me? Journalism.
It was a terrible night for poor people, for the middle class, for seniors who rely on Social Security.
Let's talk about
that
a little
bit. That's
deluded. He's lying about everyone. For taxpayers, every person listening right now, your taxes would go up if Kamala Harris was president.
Yes.
How do you know that, Mark? Well, because, and tell your friends this, because the Trump tax cuts rolled back everyone's taxes.
Yes.
And she had vowed, even though the mainstream media, they didn't talk about this because they didn't want it out there. She was basically running on a pledge to raise everyone's taxes.
Yes, she was.
So weird that that didn't work. I can't believe that didn't work
for
her.
It is shocking.
You know, if you look at the map of this country, by the way, Sue, there's not one place in the whole damn country that didn't move to the right except for Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean,
that's
a big
statement.
Say something.
Poor people can't afford anything at the grocery store.
Thank you. Did you hear? I'll get to the, did you hear the Joe Scarborough thing about the butter?
Oh, I got to hear that.
I'll get to that here in a second. More tears here from Jimmy. I mean, everything he's saying here, everything he's spinning out is a bunch of nonsense.
For our allies in Ukraine, for NATO, for the truth. And
what?
Democracy and
democracy.
Decency.
Yeah.
And it
decency.
Was a terrible night for everyone who voted against him. And guess what? It was a bad night for everyone who voted for him, too. You just don't realize it yet.
Yeah, you don't realize it yet. So that's the best Jimmy Kimmel could do. And then you got Scarborough. Listen to this. He's shocked that the price of butter is $7 because he makes how many million dollars a year?
3 weeks ago, somebody who was going to be voting for Kamala Harris came up to me and said, "Oh, my God, Trump's going to win." I go, "Why is that?" He goes, "I went to the grocery store butter's over $3. I kind of laughed and I said, well, that's kind of reductive, isn't it? Said it to myself. To him, I smiled and I said, good point.
Okay, so he did you hear what he said? The voter said butter is over $3.
But it actually, what everything we're hearing
what?
After
wait,
the election
wait, what?
Is,
listen.
It is...
The $7.
What's that?
The $7.
What's that? Butter is $7?
Yeah.
What? Is places. It framed in gold?
Yeah, yeah, okay. And,
anyway.
Where you go. But,
okay, well, yeah, okay. Well, anyway.
He doesn't get it.
No.
He isn't. Now, look, I looked this up here in St. Louis. It's Schnucks right now. And I mentioned this with milk. Remember I told you? Now, yeah. It's a little different if you buy the name brand versus generic. So right now, butter at the Schnucks, where I go
like
in High
Schnucks
Ridge.
Schnucks butter. How much?
Well, wait. I'll get to that in a second. But the Land O'Lakes, if you're looking at the Land O'Lakes, $6.84. The Schnucks, unsalted, $4.49. And the sweet cream is $4.49. Mm-hmm. The Kerrygold pure Irish butter. Ooh, that sounds
that's
good.
That's expensive.
That's $5.99, yeah. Right? But look, the price of butter is almost $7, right? That's ridiculous. And milk. And I told you that milk was $2 more for the name brand. Why? I didn't buy the name brand, but still, that's bizarre as well. Okay, a couple of other things. This is one of my favorite pieces of audio. You guys might have to police me on the time because I'm just going to go kind of crazy here on my audio and get this off my chest. This is really good. This is all over Twitter. Now, this is a liberal professor, and I'm not exactly sure. I've been trying to figure out where she's at, but she tweeted this out on Tuesday. All right, this is her story from Election Day.
Okay, so we're closing in on almost 5 p.m. Eastern time, and I've been tracking everything that's been going on across the country today. And my most important encounter was when I went out to get my champagne. I was talking to the guy in the store, of course, asking him, did he vote? And he said he did early voting, and he asked me if I early voted. And he asked me, you know, why I was getting the champagne. And I said, because I'm going to be toasting Madam President tonight.
Yeah. So she's totally, this is during Election Day that she's posting this. She's super confident that Kamala Harris is going to win. Not only win, but win big.
And he just looked at me with kind of like a smirk on his face. And I said, you know, she's going to win this, right? And he says, oh, well, it's very, very close. And I said, no, it's not. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, no, it's not. The women of America are making their voices heard. Reproductive rights is what it all comes down to. And the women are voting in numbers relative to men that are unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
She's won this. And I said to him, she's going to take every one of the swing states plus Iowa.
Mm.
And he said, oh, but the numbers are so close. I said, I'm a political analyst.
Ah,
I'm telling you right
she's
now.
She's an expert. She's an expert.
There. She's taking this election. And then I said to him, you realize, and he didn't tell me who he voted for, but of course I knew. And I said, you do realize you wasted your vote, right? And I didn't care.
Oh, my God.
And I walked out with my bottle of champagne
so
happily walked home.
She's so good. How about this here?
Bye-bye.
Isn't that great?
I mean, first of all, I can't believe that hasn't been pulled down, but whoever snagged it, congratulations. What a complete idiot, right?
That's what I was going to say. She's an analyst. Okay, the content's funny, except, but she left it up? Take that down.
They're just not that
smart. I mean,
they really aren't. Here's one for you. Look, there's so many, I don't exactly know. Well, we played this one yesterday. This is good.
You voted against me. You voted against my right to live. You voted against all the women and their rights. I hope you enjoy your cheap gas.
Again, the women. Someone's going to have to help me out here with what's gone on with women here in the last 2 days that's so horrifying. Here's another one.
I'm feral today. Feral! If you see me keep walking, do not make eye contact. Do not square up at me.
Ooh.
Don't act like you know me.
Wow.
Like, I want to eat, like, maybe they voted for Kamala, but, like, I want to eat them right now. Like, I want to take a bite out of those glutes in a bad way.
What in the world is going on? I mean, this is really, people are mentally deranged out there.
You know,
this Trump derangement syndrome, it's real, and we're seeing it on full display. But, Sue, are you going to make a point before I launch into more here?
I don't think we're operating on the same information. I think these people have actually watched CNN, CNBC, and come to the conclusion, because they've been told time and time again, even by our leaders, that Trump is Hitler. He's going to get rid of abortion altogether. He's going to do all kinds. That's, I think, why they're referring to the women. That's the only thing I can think of. And all that's happened is it's been kicked back to the states.
Right, exactly. But don't interfere with facts, Sue. That's not good for people to understand. This guy in The Atlantic, I mentioned I finally canceled The Atlantic. I got sucked in during the pandemic because this guy, Derek Thompson, was writing some things that really interested me, and I kept meeting the paywall. And there's a guy by the name of Franklin Foer who writes today, before my subscription runs out, I still have a little access because I pay $38 a month for this heap of
garbage
crap. Earlier this fall, Franklin writes, one of Joe Biden's closest aides felt compelled to tell the president the hard truth about Kamala Harris's run for the presidency. You have more to lose than she does. And now he's just lost it. Joe Biden cannot escape the fact that his 4 years in office paved the way for the return of Donald Trump. This is his legacy. Everything else is an asterisk, right? In the hours after Harris's defeat, he says, I called and I texted members of Biden's inner circle to hear their postmortems of the campaign. They sounded as deflated as the rest of the Democratic elite. They also had a worry of their own. Members of Biden's clan continue to stoke the delusion that its paterfamilias would have won the election, and some of his advisors feared that he might publicly voice that deeply misguided view. So, in other words, they were worried that he'd go out there today and say, well, I would have won this thing, right? Although the Biden advisors I spoke with were reluctant to say anything negative about Harris as a candidate, they did level a critique of her campaign based on the months they'd spent strategizing in anticipation of the election. Embedded in their autopsies was their own unstated faith that they could have done better. And they kind of go back and forth here. They said that, the messaging was wrong. They go, the blame game is running very, very, you know, deep here within the Democrats. And I'll even play AOC, because AOC and a lot of them are saying, look, she ran a great campaign.
She ran a campaign that, and she was tasked with an assignment that was nearly impossible. And she made it possible. This race was so close.
But was it? But was it really so close? I don't think so. We got Jeff Mordock, who is the White House correspondent for The Washington Times. I have a bunch more audio to get to this afternoon. I have more delusion to share with you. We had Harvard and the snowflakes there canceling classes. The dramatic Hispanic shift that is now evident in the numbers. A lot to go here on a Thursday edition of The Mark Reardon Show.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was a little confused because I saw the president, the current president, the guy we haven't really heard from for very long, give a little message in front of the White House today, and he seemed rather lucid.
I know it's a difficult time. You're hurting. I hear you and I see you. But don't forget. Don't forget all that we accomplished. It's been an historic presidency. Not because I'm president, because what we've done, what you've done. A presidency for all Americans.
Now, look, if you're watching on the cameras right now on the X, formerly Twitter, or on the 97.1 FM Talk YouTube channel, you would have seen me laugh right there. Do you know why I laughed, Sue?
Well, he sounds exactly like Dana Carvey's impression.
Thank you. That's exactly why. Because I cannot hear him now.
Yes.
Same thing with Tim Walz. By the way, this is another thing that I said on Twitter today. You know, I know that we're a very divided country by evidence of the fact what happened this week and all the Nazi talk. But can we at least come together in the aftermath of Tuesday and agree that Tim Walz is a big doofus? You know, he didn't even win his home county.
He didn't even win his
home
county.
How about that?
Holy Toledo.
Jeff Mordock is back with us here this afternoon. He's the White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, how are you post-election day?
I am doing great. I am working on a tremendous lack of sleep, so go easy on me. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Join the club, right? Yeah. Yesterday, I was just fueled on donuts and adrenaline. Today, I'm struggling just a little bit as well. Well, what happened? Was there anything of significance today? Were you in the briefing room? Because KJ Peach took some questions, didn't she?
She took some questions, but we really didn't get an answer to most things. It was just she's going to leave it to other people to dissect the president's role in whether or not that doomed the Harris campaign. And I think there's no doubt it was an albatross, but honestly, from what I've seen and what we've looked at from exit polling, it seems like her failure to address inflation, as well as belittle people's concerns about inflation by trotting out millionaire singers to tell them inflation's not so, the economy's not so bad, I think had more of an impact on dooming her campaign than anything else.
It's interesting because I've heard a lot of discussion about it doesn't seem, and they do this all the time with the celebrity endorsements, and you know, you got Queen Latifah and maybe people who haven't gotten involved in politics before. Yeah, if that was their path to victory, it didn't work very well. Now, maybe if you had a better candidate, it would have. Maybe if the economy wasn't, you know, exactly the way it is right now. But Jeff, look, it happens every election cycle, doesn't ever seem to help the other party.
No, but I feel like this time we've officially killed the celebrity endorsement.
We might have. We absolutely might have. What do you know at this point about transition?
Right now, we don't know much. Both campaigns are still in the early stages.
Hang on a second there, Jeff. I don't know what just happened there, Ethan. I just had a... somehow that other line lit up on me. Let me see if I can get rid of that real quick. I don't think I can. Drop? There. No. I think... There we go. Jeff, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I had a... I don't know if you could hear the phone line, but somehow I pressed a button and it wasn't very good. Go ahead. I didn't hear what you said.
We don't know much. Right now, where we are is the preliminary stages where the Trump campaign and the Biden White House are trying to set up times to talk, to go over things, to hand over things. So right now, it's they're still in the stages of setting up a transition. There's very little movement on either front.
Yeah, and then what is, you know, obviously the message that Biden had today is peaceful transition, et cetera. I can play a little bit more audio. He says, talk to Trump.
Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Jeff Mordock, do you have a sense of what the Democratic awareness level is right now, that the message that was sent by the American people, or is that a little bit too early because a lot of these folks aren't even in Washington?
I think it's a little too early because a lot of these folks aren't even in Washington. But the ones that I've talked to, they go back to two things. They go back to the albatross that Joe Biden was, and they go back to her failure to address inflation. But also, I think there's other things. You know, we're starting to see county chairs come out in major cities say they never heard anything from the Harris campaign, that, you know, they asked for resources and they were ignored. The Philadelphia Democratic county chair said he never even spoke to Kamala Harris during the entire campaign. And it seems to me that that just goes back to what this campaign was. It was a campaign that collapsed under its own elitism and condescension.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, and again, I've seen quite a bit of the blame game that's kind of going on right now, and that's going to continue. Look, Jonathan Martin's got a good report in Politico today. The Harris team's kind of going after Biden. The Biden team's kind of going after Harris and vice versa. So that's going to be a little ugly for a while, I think.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to go on for a very long time. And, you know, to some degree, I mean, both sides have a point. You know, you look at what Biden did. I mean, he overshadowed her big speech with the garbage comment. He did not drop out of the race. But also, you've got these people in the Biden administration who want to keep their jobs, and they covered up the condition that he was in. And then they got exposed in the campaign, and now they're scrambling. Then they started to scramble. And I can understand this goes back to the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has not had a real primary in 16 years. There's never been, it's been so long since there's been a healthy competition and healthy jockeying for being the presidential nominee. I think they've forgotten how to do it, and I think that's put them out of touch with the American people.
For a guy like you, Jeff, this is going to be, I mean, it always is fascinating, but this is going to be real interesting because I think that it would be fair to say at this point that this is going to be a very different you know, administration than the first Trump administration. You got people like Elon and, you know, Vivek involved and a whole cast of characters that will become a part of fixing the problems in America that we did not have before. And they're not all, this is what makes it unique. And I think that the folks in D.C. don't like this very much, but these are not political people, right? These are not elected officials, if you will. These are just regular, successful Americans.
That's correct. And that's, you know, and that's what former President-elect Trump does, is he brings in business. He avoids the career politicians, the career bureaucrats. He kind of did a little bit in his first administration, but now that he has the experience of governing, he can sort of eschew those people and bring in the people that have achieved success on their own through their own hard work and determination.
Well, Jeff, I know it's been a long week. I know you're sleep deprived like a lot of us, but I appreciate coming on here this afternoon on 97.1 FM talking. Good luck with the rest of the week.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. I wanted to get to, you know, here I am. I'm on my iPad in front of me, and there's things that I try to pull up throughout the course of the day. And then when I tried to pull them up again, I'm meeting the paywall, which kind of annoys me. But I'm going to try to get some screen captures of what I was going to play. But I like this. There's a bunch of audio. You know, I can play some of the crazy lefties, and we can have fun with that. We'll certainly do that throughout the course of the show and get back into it for audio cut of the day. But this is a Democrat strategist by the name of Julie Roginski. I've heard of her before. I don't know much about her. But she was on, I think this might have been MSNBC, breaking down some of the problems. Now, again, in the aftermath of a disastrous election, Republicans have to look at it also. What went wrong? Throughout the course of the last few months, believe me, Democrats knew that the warning signs were there. They saw some of the internal polling. They couldn't have been completely shocked by what happened, like the rest of their supporters, because I think their supporters were rather shocked. But she gave some tough medicine today.
No, I'm going to speak some hard truths to my friends in the Democratic Party. This is not Joe Biden's fault. It's not Kamala Harris's fault. It's not Barack Obama's fault. It is the fault of the Democratic Party in not knowing how to communicate effectively to voters. We are not the party of common sense, which is the message that voters sent to us. For a number of reasons. For a number of reasons, we don't know how to speak to voters.
So she's going to get into some of the specifics. They'll resonate with many of you who are listening right now. And she's right about all this. But I just don't think, you know, the late night comedians don't get it. I think a lot of the folks on the Democrat side, certainly the voters, don't understand how identity politics does play a role in turning people off. I mean, the one column that I just tried to come up with here was Jonathan Martin's, because his column today in Politico was excellent. And Jay Martin is a guest on this show. He's become a friend. I think he's a straight shooter when it comes to the world of politics. Used to be at the New York Times. Is that Politico right now? Look, does he lean to the left eventually? Probably. But he doesn't really show it in his reporting. And one of the things that he was talking about is the damage that was inflicted not only by Kamala when she went on The View and said, I don't think I'd do anything differently, but by the trans ad in particular getting repeated over and over and over again. But if that wasn't there, there were going to be other ads and other opportunities to kind of go after her on some of the culture issues. And they resonated. And Julie brings this up.
We address Latino voters as Latinx, for instance, because that's the politically correct thing to do. It makes them think that we don't even live on the same planet as they do.
This is such an important point. And the LA Times made this editorial decision, I don't know when it was, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, where they have a reference to Hispanic people as, I say, Latinx. I don't even know what the hell it is. It's so ridiculous because of transgender people. Apparently, there's so many Hispanics that are transgender that they need their own label, especially during the month of November, which is Transgender Awareness Month. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God we have this month, because it would never, ever be on our radar. But it's such an insulting term. And you know who hates it? Hispanics. They don't like it at all. But they keep using it. And AOC and the progressives, you know, people like Tish here in St. Louis, they think it's appropriate, even though the constituency to which they are preaching hates it. And they're insulted by it. I wonder if they'll stop using that, because they got to know at this point.
When we are too afraid to say that, hey, college kids, if you're trashing a campus at Columbia University because you're unhappy about some sort of policy and you're taking over a university and you're trashing it and preventing other students from learning, that is unacceptable. But we're so worried about alienating one or another cohort in our coalition that we don't know what to say when normal people look at that and say, wait a second, I send my kids to college so they can learn, not so that they can burn buildings and trash lawns, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. But they were unwilling. Look, this White House, this guy, Joe Biden, he was unwilling in the spring to condemn that. Let's remember that. You know, a lot of us do. It was never covered by the legacy media. Did the legacy media pressure the White House? Did they try to get comments about that? No, they didn't, because they're in the tank, too, and they have all these little interns and editors who are 20-somethings, who are brainwashed, indoctrinated, and they hate the country. So that's why they do the type of journalism that they do.
So on and so forth. When we put pronouns after names and say she, her, as opposed to saying, you know what, if I call you by the wrong pronoun, call me out, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, but stop with the virtue signaling and just speak to people like they're normal.
Are you listening, folks in Webster Groves? Because that's who they're talking about, right? Those of you who live on Elm and Webster Groves, I always like to use that reference there. And, you know, Julie used the word common sense. Trump used the word common sense. Some of this, I honestly, and I know that those of you listening right now are frustrated too. How can anyone disagree with that? I mean, unless you're completely in the tank with purple hair and a nose ring and you don't know if you're a boy or a girl, then you might not agree with that. But for rest of the people, even if you're a little in the tank on the left, you'd have to understand that that problem is there. Bill Maher's been preaching about it for a long time. Some other people, you have this disconnect. Now, I'm smart enough to recognize that our friends like Steve Butts, who'll be on the roundtable tomorrow, and Jane, they don't like this stuff either. But here's the difference. Say something. Challenge your party. Tell them how stupid it is to use pronouns. If there was one thing, and I'm kind of joking about this, but look, if there's an executive order that you can have to ban that stupidity that journalists, so-called journalists like what's-her-name, Rebecca Lee at Channel 5 and the other virtue signalers have to put it at the top of their page so that we know as an audience member of KSDK exactly where they are on the alphabet mafia thing, right? Oh, she, her, thank God that I knew that because you look like a woman. I wasn't exactly sure if you had a penis, so you had to tell me she, her. It's embarrassing, but they do it because it makes them feel good and they're virtue signaling and they're not offending their gay and lesbian friends, even though what they don't know is their gay and lesbian friends hate it too because they're sick of the trans stuff. They're tired of it. That's part of my favorite narrative with all that, that all the white, straight virtue signalers don't understand that the gay people can't stand this stuff either.
We need to start being the party of common sense again. Joe Biden is not responsible for that. Neither is Kamala Harris. It is a problem that Democrats have had for years. I've been banging the drum on this for, I don't know how, probably 10 years, if not longer on this. We need to get back to being the party of common sense, that people look at us and say, we understand you. We appreciate what you say because you speak our language. And until we do that, we should stop blaming other people for our own mistakes.
You know, that was on MSNBC, and Julie's absolutely right about that, but they won't take that to heart, thank God. The Republicans own all those issues right now. God bless America.
Okay, so since Trump won the election, we're cooked, yup! I'm going to be leaving the U.S., and I'm going to be moving to Hawaii. So we'll see how it goes, and I'll update you guys.
Oh, my God. I see, sometimes I don't know. I don't know what to think about that one. Was that someone just having a little fun?
No.
Or were they really, really that dumb? You do have to wonder, right?
Oh, it's a fair question, but I think in that case,
Did I tell you, did I share the one? Maybe I didn't do this yesterday. This is so confusing to me. I might have done this, Sue, so just bear with me here because I can't remember things from 24 hours ago. Hell, I can't remember things from, you know, what happened this morning. But I was, you know, as I was going through, I got off Facebook a couple of months ago, but I wanted to post that picture that my daughter left me this great note yesterday morning, and I put it on Facebook, and my message on Facebook was, you know, I love my daughter, I love my family, I love my friends, and we shouldn't let politics get involved. That was essentially, I'm calling it down here, right? And I said the Republic will survive. But I happened to notice that there was a friend of mine that posted, and this is someone who dropped me as a friend from several years. He's actually a big shot at CBS News, believe it or not. We've been friends since journalism school at Mizzou. And he's decided to move in another direction because apparently I'm a Nazi. But this was his post yesterday. Explain this to me, okay? We lost fair and square. The people have spoken. So now I speak this morning. Canceled New York Times. Wait, what? I think I did do this briefly yesterday. Canceled the New York Times. What? Stopped any charitable giving. Wait, what? Will not assist in any further DEI or recruiting efforts, which, by the way, is probably something that he did at CBS, which good. Planning vacations outside the U.S., and we're just getting started on the changes. We're cashing out. Good luck. Okay, Sounds good.
Wait a minute.
What?
Maybe the cancellation of New York Times is because, weren't they the ones with the article that said DEI wasn't working?
Well, that's interesting. Maybe that was it. You know what? Maybe that's why they canceled the New York Times, because you had that extensive reporting. Yeah, it was specifically on, and this was, you know, we ripped the New York Times and the legacy media, but this was a well-researched, this person, I can't remember if it was a male or a female, don't want to misgender them, spent like a year doing the research for that story. And, you know, that's one of those things I almost wish they would have put out after the election, because nobody really got into that. Even Fox didn't dissect it too much, because we were in this cycle with the election. And that was such an important piece. And it really, because I think to most people, and I mean most people, you know, a lot of people that are listening right now probably don't have the full comprehension of what diversity, equity, and inclusion really is all about. It's very complicated. It's not just saying, oh, we should have more black people, or we should have more gay people. It's well beyond that. It's discriminatory. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. So that's why you've had all this movement away from it, except for at Michigan, where they've tried to double down on this. Ethan, is that bite that you love the one that's just said The View? All right. You know, I said yesterday that The View let me down just a little bit, because I expected a lot of craziness, and I'm told that that might have happened today.
And finally, we talk a lot about these different demographics and these assumptions of where they're going to go. Latinos in Texas, a district that's 97% Latino, went 75 percentage points for Donald Trump. Why?
Misogyny.
On the border.
It's
the border crisis is on their doorstep.
So,
and they were begging people to care about it for years. We need to take
sexism.
Some lessons.
That's what that was.
The lessons are not
knock, knock.
Sexism.
Who's there? Oh, my gosh. It's Whoopi.
Oh, my God. So it's all about, see, they can't get away from it. They don't want to look at themselves in the mirror. They don't understand what the media did. It's all xenophobia, every little hot button word that you can use, right?
So the Latinos are misogynistic against their own people coming across the, what?
No, they're saying, here's what they're saying. Okay, they're saying, and is there a bit of an element of truth to this? Well, there's always going to be some of this. Black men and Hispanic men did not want to vote. Well, not black men, but Hispanic men did not want to vote for a woman of color. By the way, what color was she? I mean, Trump tried to get into this and no one wanted to touch it, because what I think happened is a lot of black people said, boy, is she a fraud. She is a complete fraud. But they don't have anything else to fall back on. I mean, if they don't take a deep dive and examination like Julie Rudzinski and some of these others are recommending, and I hope they don't, I really do, because the country is going to be much better off. Look, this was so big beyond measure this week because of the Senate in particular, because as I mentioned when I was doing my shout outs yesterday, you got a guy like Clarence Thomas and, you know, maybe Alito, who are getting older, and they would not have felt really good about retiring if you have Kamala Harris in the White House. You don't have to worry about that. How about two more Supreme Court members from Donald J. Trump? Sue's News is coming up in the next hour. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.